Hello, welcome to the solo edition of Good Morning Comrade, hosted by me, Robert Johnson. Please, if you're listening to us on whatever you're listening to podcasts on, especially Apple, go ahead and give us a rate and a review. That really helps us in the rankings. Also, we should have a Patreon soon, maybe by the time this gets posted. If you really like our stuff and want to get to know us better, please support the show on Patreon. We really appreciate that. If you notice my voice sounds like trash, I'm going through one of those summertime colds. It's okay, I'll live. But I thought it was really important to go ahead and try to get out. I'm going to have more people do these shows that aren't on the actual radio station, so we can have two shows a week. But it's early in the morning on a Thursday. It's the 2 days before Pride. Pride is going to be celebrated here in the U.S., and especially in New Orleans, Louisiana, on Saturday. And we really, Pride is very, I find it very unique here in New Orleans, because Pride is very much so a family thing, because we have our own other festival called Southern Decadence, which all queer people come to. Well, not everyone, obviously, but it's a queer festival. And I mean, if you're straight, you can go. No one's going to stop you, but what you're going to see is what you're going to see. It's not really for you, but, you know, go and enjoy yourself, but don't you dare try to pass judgment on anybody. But allow me to digress. That's really not the topic, the issue at hand here. The idea of why I want to make this show is because I want to talk about a civil rights activist that's near and dear to my heart, which is Marsha P. Johnson. I feel like she's finally getting her due after all this time. It's been a long history of her not being recognized by history. And even myself, where I think, oh, I'm a woke bro or whatever, I didn't know about her until a couple years ago, to be honest. I didn't know much about Stonewall, and I didn't know about how. And it's almost a meme now that Pride is a riot, Stonewall was a riot. You know, don't try to queer wash, pink wash Pride, and don't try to market to queer people when you don't give a damn about queer people the rest of the year. You just conveniently want their money. I think Disney World's really good at Disney Corporation's really good at this, but that's kind of a sticky widget because there's a lot of queer people who work at Disney World, so maybe that came from within, but who knows? That's something to maybe get into later. I don't think I have a lot of bona fides to talk about that as a cis biracial. I would say I'm black, but technically my mom's white, my dad's black, a cis guy. So why would you think I have, you know, any kind of, I don't want to say right, but any kind of leg to stand on to talk about Marsha and to talk about queer liberation? So I just want to kind of roll down my bona fides, and to be straight up, I'm not a historian. I'm not, like I said, I just learned about Marsha not that long ago, maybe a couple years ago, and I'm going to read you some stuff, and by God, it's going to be from Wikipedia, you know, about her and her life. I guess I'll roll down my life and why I feel she really resonates with me, and why she needs to be taught in school and primary and secondary education as much as any other civil rights. She's equal to, if not more than, MLK, Rosa Parks, Mahatma Gandhi. I mean, I would say without a doubt, she's greater than Mahatma Gandhi. Mahatma Gandhi was a racist. But that's a whole nother, man. I've got so much to get out in future podcasts about historical figures, but more about my life. So story goes, I'm trying to remember if it's accurate or not. My parents met my dad was a bouncer in a gay bar, and my mom was at said gay bar, and that's how they met. So, I have a very distinct memory growing up of my parents in the late 80s, early 90s being quite woke, being quite progressive. I mean, for my father, my parents were divorced at a young age, but my father being black, there are a lot of black conservatives out there that blows my mind. I don't understand how that's a thing at all. But my dad was very progressive, and he introduced me to a lot of things as far as, oh yeah, that person's gay. And that was really all that was said about it. Yeah, that lady has a girlfriend. Here's my friend, and here's her girlfriend. Here's my friend, and here's her boy. You know, here's my friend, and here's his boyfriend. That's pretty much all that was said about it. And everything was cool and kosher. And I never, as a child, thought anything much about it. I remember we lived in this dumpy apartment complex in St. Petersburg, Florida. A very, 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 very gay town, by the way. We lived in this dumpy apartment complex, and I made friends with this kid who I honestly didn't even like the kid that much. But I made friends with this kid who also lived in said apartment complex, and we were just friends by proximity because, you know, it's what you do. Like, those are the kids you're around, so that's who you're going to be a friend with. And like I said, I remember not liking him that much, but I didn't hate him. It was just whatever. I didn't look up to him or anything like that. But we did the things kids did, and we played video games. I had a Sega Genesis at the time. I was really into Mortal Kombat and Sonic Spinball. He, as I remember, had a Super Nintendo, and I said, "Oh, you got Super Nintendo? I don't own that. I really would like to play Super Nintendo. Let's go to your place and play Super Nintendo." And he was like, "Oh man, I don't know if it's a good idea, blah, blah, blah." But he was always putting it off. And I was like, what's up with this kid's apartment, you know? What the fuck's going on over there? And I thought, all right. So I finally finagle him. I finally convince him to let me over there. And he's like, "Man, I got to tell you something, this and that, you know, before we go over there." I was like, what? What's the deal? What are you talking about? And we get to it, his dad's a drag queen who performs at the local gay bar up the street called Georgie's Alibi. I was like, wow, your dad's a drag queen. Okay, cool. I didn't care. And I think that I didn't care shook him up. It made him feel, he didn't know really how to take that. And even as just a young kid in middle school, I had this very succinct idea of, this kid's got a secret, and I can't let it get out, because if I do, it's really bad for him. And this kid got super lucky that he has me as a friend. And I don't want to say that as somehow patting myself on the back or I'm such a great person, because I'm not. I've definitely, this is almost a mea culpa. Like, as a 20-something, I've definitely used a lot of gay slurs. You know, the whole, oh, that's gay, this is that, to straight up calling people the F word. But never to anybody who was actually queer. Not that that makes a difference. It's just it's an odd juxtaposition. It's a weird way that where my upbringing came across, my upbringing met toxic masculinity, and that's how the two coexisted, if that makes any sense at all. But I just knew that I had to keep this kid's secret, you know, under pain of death, because that's just the world we were living in. And my dad bought a HUD home. He was stocking shelves at Home Depot, and he got a HUD loan, and he bought the first home and got us out of that dumpy apartment complex and into the neighborhood of Kenwood, which is by St. Petersburg High School. And so I got to walk a couple blocks to my high school, which was very cool. Pretty much all my neighbors, I think we were the only, my dad and my stepmom, we were the only straight couple on the block. So that had a lot of influence in my upbringing of what I thought. You know, we had, it was almost cliche. We had the lesbian couple who made and sold candles on the corner. We had the one bachelor gay guy who never hung around the other gays because he was very secretive, but everybody knew. We kind of had the flamboyant guys who lived at the street who were always party, party, party. And, you know, they were drag queens on the weekends. just this great menagerie of neighbors. It was just an excellent place to grow up. And I'm really, I don't think it was on purpose. My dad definitely didn't pick out this neighborhood because he thought, oh, this would be a great place to live because of all the gay people on the block. But I'm just so thankful that I lived in that neighborhood at that time, because who knows what kind of hellion, who knows what kind of sick individual I would be, because the things in my life that I've done, I mean, I was in the Marine Corps right out of high school. I joined the Marine Corps. So God, I mean, that's the most toxic of all masculinity right there. It doesn't have to be. You are what you bring in there. I knew core people in the Marine Corps, but you know, that was, don't ask, don't tell was still in effect. So they kept that damn. But I knew from growing up in Kidwood, I'm like, yeah, this guy's gay. And after that, I messed around for a while in the real world after the Marine Corps, and then I was a cop. So these are the most toxic masculinity. So if I didn't have grounding in that neighborhood, who the hell knows how I would have turned out? I could have been any kind of sorry son of a bitch. So I just thank all the men and women who raised me as a child, and why I feel, not kinship, I think that's a little pandering, but I feel solidarity with queer people because of I was lucky in the way that I grew up. So this is why I would assume, if I was to enter, you know, I was to reflect on myself, of why Marsha means so much to me, is that he's such an intersectional person. If we talk about Donald Trump and how he is the logical conclusion of all the bad things that capitalism and the American way and just our sick society will produce, then if we can say that about our president, then Marsha P. Johnson was the best of America. She was a person of color. She was transgender. She didn't pass perfectly. She was poor. She lived on the street. She did survival sex just to get by. She had mental health issues. And through all that, she knew who she was. And she did fantastic things with her life. She started, along with her friend Sylvia Rivera, STAR, the acronym for Street Transvestite Action Revolutionaries. And this was to help transgender people like herself and other queer people who had no place to be, had no one that cared about them, get them off the street, get them something to eat, get some clothes on their back. Just in a time where, I mean, I say in a time like we're so much better now and we're completely not, but these people were treated so terrible. To be queer and to be black had to be the most double whammy of all the things in the 60s. It was, I can't even imagine what that feel like. You know, I'm biracial myself and I'm black, but you know, people are like, where are you from? Like it's any of your business. So I feel like if I really do care about that person, I care about their opinion, I'll at least break it down for them. And how much you have to go through as a black person in America, as a black woman, I don't know. I know that's even that's something else that I really can't touch. But as a black man, to go through this world, to live in this country, and constantly every second, with every glance, every body movement, everything you say, the tone of your voice, even like when I speak into this microphone, it's, my voice is a deep booming voice, but I usually talk lower into the microphone, and I realize why I'm code switching. I'm trying to constantly put on this performance that I'm safe, and that she, at a time that's more dangerous than my own, was able to say, I don't give a fuck about that. Is so powerful and so strong. She once told, when she was in court and the judge asked, what does the P stand for in your name, she said, pay it no mind. And that became her catchphrase of pay it no mind. And the story goes that the judge was actually amused by that and dropped the charges and released her. By that, he was amused by that answer. And the idea that she could pay it no mind back then gives me strength to pay it no mind now. Instead of constantly trying to perform for people to actually be myself. I would hope to God that if I lived back then, I would be her friend. And I would be able to stand with her for the thing that she was amused for Andy Warhol, but the thing that why we're talking about her so close to Pride right now is when the police came into the Stonewall Inn and tried to shut it down, and she threw the shot glass that was heard around the world. She picked up a shot glass. Some say it was a brick. I don't know how she had a brick inside. Maybe it was a brick. I don't know. But consensus is it's a shot glass. And she threw it at a mirror. And it broke. And she said spontaneously, I got my civil rights. I imagine that's how she sounded. I got my civil rights. You know, I won't be cowed by the police. I won't be cowed by society. Puts conventions on me of who I'm supposed to love and who I am. I know who Marsha P. Johnson is, and I've got my civil rights, is incredibly powerful. And it's something that I could live, I hope I could live by. And I understand she wasn't perfect. Like, obviously she had so much put on her, and she had so many issues she was trying to fight at the same time. But again, if I could go through history, she's one of the people I'd want to meet, and I'd hope that she would call me friend, and I would hope that we would stand together and defend each other's civil rights, which I feel like is what we have to do now. You know, I saw a sign or a t-shirt or something said, hey, my feminism is intersectional or it's bullshit, and I feel the same way about any kind of revolution, any civil rights movement. It must be intersectional. It must include the Marsha P. Johnsons of today. It must include the trans women who are being murdered en masse because of toxic masculinity, because men who are attracted to them, and then they're afraid that their friends will call them gay, will call them queers, will call them faggots, and they're afraid to love who they want to love, and they don't have the courage that she had to pay it no mind. And they feel like their only recourse to take some kind of weird honor in this world is to kill that poor woman who all she did was exist. That's who we have to stand with. We have to stand with the female and the male and the black and the brown and the queer and the cis and the bullied and the downtrodden to change our society for the better. And that's why Pride is important. No matter what your sexual persuasion is, that's why civil rights are important, and that's why Marsha was important. And she was murdered. She was murdered. Some say she was murdered, you know, because she was a sex worker. Others say it was the mob in cooperation with the police, which is very easy to think, yeah, that definitely happened in 1992 is when she was murdered. And, you know, they got to her, and they got her. And there's been a lot of talk of, there's a really good Netflix documentary, you know, trying to find out who killed Marsha. It's The Life and Times of Marsha P. Johnson. It's great. I've watched it twice. I recommend you watch it. But it's more important to know who she was and how she lived and why. Again, she is one of the most important civil rights leaders, civil rights activists. Civil rights, social justice warriors. Don't be afraid of that. Don't be afraid if somebody calls you a social justice warrior. You know, and it's easy for me to say I'm 290-pound black guy. Yeah, I'm a social justice warrior. Come catch these social justice hands. You know, if you got an issue with that, if you got an issue with people just trying to exist, you know, I'll be a huckleberry. I'll stand in front of them, and you can deal with me. And I know that that's. That's not everybody's place in the world. That's not everybody's position. We need support staff to bail people like me out of jail, you know, when it goes down. So don't be afraid if you're not ready to get into the tussle with police like Marsha did. It's okay. It doesn't make you any less. Man, she's so important. And again, she should be taught along with Harriet Tubman and King and Rosa Parks in this ongoing, never ending fight for liberation for all peoples against the forces of reactionary capitalism. And that's really what I just wanted y'all to know, what I thought about Marsha. You know, I'm probably preaching to the choir. And if I am, that's fine. And maybe one or two people didn't know. Maybe one or two people just watched that terrible Stonewall movie that has nothing to do with her, which I've never seen because all my queer friends are like, if you watch that movie, I'll disown you if you give that movie any money. I've actually heard that the Drunk History that Comedy Central does for 15 minutes, which I very much so enjoy, does a better job than that 2-hour movie of explaining the Stonewall riots. So look for that, Marsha P. Johnson. I think Chriselle West is the person who gets drunk and narrates her life. So again, I hope you guys really enjoyed the Slumpmental Show. We're going to have more people on here. It won't just be me and my terrible voice that is sick from the flu. Go ahead and again, give us a rate and a subscribe on Apple or really wherever you listen to podcasts. A lot of y'all listen to on Apple, which is weird. I don't own any Apple devices. I only have iTunes downloaded just for this podcast, which is weird. Make sure to go to our website, Good Morning Comrade. Sign up for our newsletter. We'll be bringing that to you, and also other exclusive subscriber-only content that you can get by giving up your email address. Our Patreon, again, will probably up. Look for that, Good Morning Comrade, on Patreon. Please help us out with the show. Appreciate y'all. Contact at Good Morning Comrade is how you get to us. Comrade Morning is how you get to us on Twitter. And then we're also on Facebook. Again, I really thank you guys for listening. I see we're kind of blowing up right now on the podcast statistics for being such a new podcast. I'm just really honored to be a part of you guys' lives. Again, I'll see you next week.